Welcome to the Bonneville Salt Flats. It is in western Utah, near the town of Wendover. It's the exit just before Wendover. It says Bonneville Speedway, or something to that effect. I have wanted to come here, and in particular camp out here, since I was about 13. And I would have to say that it is well worth it. The Bonneville Salt Flats in Podcast 1064, the Bob Davis Podcasts. One of the cool things about hanging out in Utah the last few weeks, seems like, I don't even know if it's been weeks. It's going to go until August 11th. Oh yeah, it's been weeks because I had to wait a week to get the all-terrain tires for the front of the vehicle. I've talked about it a little bit. I wanted Generals because I have Generals on the back. I got those in Ely, Nevada. And I wanted these General Grabbers because they're great tires. So I would go around to these places around Provo and try to find a set of tires. And finally, somebody at Big O said, that is a discount house tire. If you go to discount, you can probably get those tires. So I went to the discount in Provo, and they were like, yeah, we can order them. They'll be here in a week. So they ordered them, and then it took another... I think they're supposed to be on the 26th of July. I ended up getting them. It seemed like a lot longer, but I ended up getting them on, I think it was the 28th. But I've had time to just kind of camp in a couple of campgrounds with electric and to do my taxes, because this is what I do when I have electric and I don't have to worry about using up the batteries and I take care of business. And I just want to say that one of the things about doing taxes, you know, when I go through all the receipts and I look at all the stuff that happened, you know, through the quarter or the year or whatever, I get a really good sense of what is valuable to the Bob Davis Podcasts as a business and to this project. People keep asking me, well, why are you doing this? And I still kind of struggle to answer the question. On one level, I feel like I'm out here looking for something. I'm not quite sure what. On another, I'm sort of on a level of exploring the society. I'm not an attraction guy. I'm not the kind of guy that goes and visits attractions and goes, oh, I've done that and I've done this. As I've said, I've talked about bucket lists. I don't have bucket lists. I don't scratch things off lists. I just kind of go. And it's very interesting when you do that, how important clients, advertising clients on the podcast, as well as, and especially the people who are contributing to the Bob Davis Podcast, whether it's you know, a monthly thing or sending cash. And sometimes it's a lot. And, you know, you've heard me do those little ads. So I just want to say thanks to everybody. Thanks to the clients in 2021 and throughout, as well as to the people who have been making contributions, because you guys really made a difference in the last 18 months or so in doing this. And so I really, really appreciate it. If you want to make a contribution to the Bob Davis Podcast, you can just go do it at thebobdavispodcast.com. You click on the donate button. It takes you to PayPal, and you can set up a monthly donation, or you can just do whatever you want. And any amount is deeply, deeply, deeply appreciated. The other thing that really helps is to subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes. That helps the feeds. And also, you can hear the podcast. If you're hearing them now, you're hearing them, but you can listen right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can go to Google Podcasts, obviously iTunes. You can subscribe to and listen on the podcast app on your iPhone. There's an app called podmn.com from Hubbard that I really like that I'm on. And there's a bunch of other ones that are out there, Podbean and people. I see these different apps on analytics. I know they're out there, but they're all over the place. And every time I do a thing, I forget to mention it. So thank you again for listening, subscribing, and contributing to the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Well, first of all, I'll take a quick moment here to let everybody know that I've been sick. Who knows what I've had, but if this is Omicron, it's much ado about nothing, but it certainly has laid me low. And I feel a lot better now, but you can kind of tell if you're listening to my voice, you can tell it's a little thin, and of course it's been dry out here, so there's that. One of the first things you notice out here is the sound deadening quality or property of all the salt out here. It's kind of a weird feeling to be camping out here and to be able to see I-80 very close, especially at night. I mean, not real close, like we're not right up against the highway, but you know, it's visible and you can't hear it at all. It's ghostly. And even at night with no moon, there hasn't been a moon because it's too early yet, maybe a sliver, new moon, there is this sort of eerie white glow because you're on this pure white expanse. And at night, it's just a wonderful feeling being here. During the day, how's the best way to describe it? It's like being on a frozen lake up north on a January day, except it's 100 degrees. And camping out here becomes kind of a fascinating experience. So this is a very, it's a huge expanse. I don't even know how big it is in terms of square footage or square miles. And I'll tell you, there, I have some facts that'll give you some idea of how big it is. But it sucks people up, so it doesn't really matter how many people are here. You will feel alone when you camp here. You can't have a fire. You can't have fireworks. Some people did have fireworks. Obviously, with BLM, they set these rules, but no one pays any attention to them. BLM sort of runs this whole area, Bureau of Land Management. You can hear them, though, and you can hear people from quite a distance. So if you're talking or you're having a spirited conversation, people will be able to hear you. They won't be able to see you, but they'll be able to hear you. So you have this eerie ambient light day and night, and yet you also have this thing where you'll be laying in bed and the windows are open and you hear somebody talking and you're like, where are those people? And you get up and you look out, you walk around the truck, there's nobody around. And so it's a ghostly kind of feel about all of it. But the good news is salt has some very interesting properties. One of them is it kind of tamps down the ghosts. Even though it is a ghostly kind of experience out here, we've all heard about salt rooms, which apparently help transfer certain minerals directly into the body, kind of like a hyperbaric chamber where oxygen goes through your skin. The salt rooms are similar to that, and people swear by them. There's many wives' tales and ceremonies among the ancients and even current people for salt. And I have to say, there is a feeling about the Bonneville Salt Flats. I don't want to leave. I don't like to just do a podcast about places and not tell you anything about the history, which is really what fascinates me. I have other reasons for wanting to be here, which I'll get to. But the first time any white person saw this place, the Salt Flats, was in 1827. That was trapper and mountain man Jedediah Smith, who's famous out here. In 1833, Joseph Rutherford Walker explored this area and mapped it for a Captain Benjamin, I think his name was Benjamin L.E. Bonneville. He didn't ever see the Bonneville Salt Flats, but the Salt Flats bear his name. So the history of this expanse of white is that at one time, the Great Salt Lake was said to be about the same size as Lake Michigan, and the water evaporated, leaving the potash salt from between 6 feet to just inches thick. And a lot of people don't know this is part of the Donner Reed party experience. I'll tell you the quick story. This was viewed by John Fremont, who was a bit of a con man and explorer, as a shortcut on the way to California. Well, let me tell you about the Salt Flats. During the summer, this salt, and I'll step out of the truck. It's a little windy out here, but you can. Yeah, it is windy. You can kind of hear it. It's almost like a cement, very, very hard surface, and you can ride on it. Now, in the winter and spring, this is closed. And it's closed because this area gets wet. It actually becomes a lake again. And then when the water evaporates again, this thin layer of water, the salt recalcifies or whatever it does, recrystallizes, and then you get this very hard surface. So the Donna Reed party decided to take this shortcut. Their whole trip was fraught with these ridiculous shortcuts that nobody had ever actually been on. And they went across in the spring, I think. So what happened was they got mired down in the mud. Also in these places where the salt wasn't very thick, they got mired down in the salt and they had a very, very tough time. And they ended up throwing a great deal of their belongings out. And so the ruts were visible from the Donna Reed party in 1983 when they sent a, you know, archaeological team out here. And they still find stuff out here. The ill-fated Donna Reed party. There's actually a museum, the Donna Reed Museum, in a town, I think Grantsburg, which is not too far from here. So I'm going to try to visit that as well. I have always wanted to come here, oddly enough, because of the many land speed records that were set here. Bonneville's iconic role in Otto lore in this country began with, oddly enough, William Randolph Hearst. Hearst is the famous son of George Hearst, who was a gold prospector and very wealthy, still has the most highest producing gold mine in the country in Deadwood, South Dakota. This was his son who ran the San Francisco Examiner and really set the tone for newspapers in the 1920s and 30s in the United States. Hearst hired a bicyclist in something like 1910 to ride across the flats as a newspaper publicity stunt. Now, this is on a bike, just to give you an idea of the size of this area. He did it in 22 hours. So they tried to promote auto racing out here after the Hearst thing, and that really didn't hold until, I don't know, I guess it was 1925 or 26 when a racing car driver driving a Studebaker beat an excursion train across the flats. I don't know where the train was, but they drove the car across the flats and the car won. But the golden era for Bonneville, I would have to say, this is my assessment, was really in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and we'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, I'll tell you, tires and racing tracks and things like that make me think of 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Why are independently owned and operated stations so great? Well, because they get a better deal on fuel, they can pass the savings on to customers. And I know fuel is expensive, gas is expensive, diesel is certainly expensive. Any cent that you can save, a dollar that you can save on fuel is obviously a dollar in your pocket. And that's one of the main reasons. They are super community involved. They do lots of great things for the community. And they have new merch. So we're talking lighters and hats and other things. And they're crazy. And I think that's the main reason. That's the main reason I like 36th and Lynn. So next time you're in Minneapolis, you need a cup of coffee or a fill-up, remember that the store at 36th Lynn is really a trendsetter. They've got great locally sourced products in there and new merch as well. 36th Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station in South Minneapolis. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. I got to preface this part of the podcast by saying that I am not a motorhead. I don't work on cars. I don't know anything about really cars. Obviously, I've learned a lot about this vehicle, the Mobile Podcast Command Unit, over the years, but I'm not a car guy. I am and was very interested in the muscle cars of the 60s and 70s and all that stuff. So when I was a kid, I would go down to the Ben Franklin and take my change and buy a copy of Hot Rod magazine. I don't know why. You know, I just started, something happened and I started, somebody gave me one and I started buying them. And I was just fascinated because almost every Hot Rod magazine at the time, even Road and Track, they always included some feature about either Pike's Peak, that big race in the Upper Peninsula on ice, which I don't even know if they still do it, or the Bonneville Salt Flats and the time trials for varying hot rods and jet cars and things like that. And I think it was those iconic photographs that drew me to this place, from, you know, the Kodachrome photographs of that blue flame jet car, or the blondes and the people in the racing jackets and all that stuff. You know, it had a very fashionable sort of patina. So when I came out on 80, I didn't really know. I knew, because I checked the map, there's a what is now a Bureau of Land Management facility, so to speak, which consists of, like they all do, of a kind of crappy road that just comes out to the salt flats. And I didn't know where I was, and there was a sign ahead that said rest stop. And I went to the rest stop. Well, the rest stop apparently was, if it isn't still, a viewing stand for people to watch races and other stuff out on the salt flats. And it's interesting because I pulled in and got out and noticed people were driving out on the salt flats. And of course, you know, I don't just drive out. I did get my all-terrain tires in the front of this vehicle, but I didn't just drive out. I walked out, I looked at it, decided that I could drive on it. So I drove out there. And when I came back, I noticed that there's a the whole thing is kind of this late 50s, early 60s architecture. It's kind of got a whole area that's covered where they have picnic tables and things like that. And then there's a big sign out there that talks about all the world speed records set from the 1930s on to the 1970s that was put up by Goodyear, I think, in 1972. And it has seen better days. There's a lot of wear and tear on the plaque, and the place is kind of weather-beaten. Today, people come out here in their Toyota sedans, pickup trucks, and race across the hard-packed salt as fast as they can. I love telling the story of this guy that I saw in a... There was a Buick version of the early Chevy, you know, GM SUV that was based on the S10. I don't know if you guys remember that. And this was a green, crappy Buick version of that early 90s SUV from General Motors. They've set up these cones, so you can drive as fast as you want through the cones, as long as you're on either side of the cones. And this guy was hauling ass way out there, about 10 miles. He'd turn around, he'd come back all day long. And the truck was covered, caked in salt. And I thought, I don't really understand. I thought maybe the guy's DoorDash or something, and there's a bunch of people out there. But it's just so weird because, you know, I don't think of the Buick version of the S10 SUV as a hot rod. Same with all the four-cylinder Toyotas and Kias and Nissans and so forth charging across the salt flats trying to set their own world speed record. Or there was a couple of Ford Broncos and some other stuff. I think the only real hot rod that I saw out there was a Mustang, a couple of Mustangs. And I didn't even see any BMWs, mostly just pickup trucks and strange things. People attempting to drift in pickup trucks, people doing donuts in pickup trucks. It was just a weird experience. But I guess I would have to say that the iconic era of the car culture, dating back to the 1930s, seems to be gone. You know, people still come, they get out, they stretch. Kids love it. You know, everybody loves it out here. It's so interesting and strange. They take selfies, and then they race away like maniacs. And it's the weirdest thing. Everybody wants to ride on the salt flats. And I don't know whether they know that there was a number of land speed records set here, or whether they just have figured out that they can go really, really fast, which I am not going to do. But that's what people do when they come here. They drive really, really fast. And I haven't seen a real hot rod, maybe one or two, since I got here. It's just a very interesting, fascinating, and lonely place. And as I said earlier, one of the things I've always wanted to do is camp here. And staying out here, camping out here, is a great experience. It is, I leave the doors open pretty much all night. There's nobody out here. So the temperatures are about 100 during the day, and then it gets down to about 75 at night. If it gets much below 75, you have to have a blanket. If not, you don't really need a blanket or anything. You just lay out here. And you get up in the middle of the night, and you look around, and you look up, and you're like, oh my God, because it's this expanse of salt and the expanse of stars. And if there's no moon, you know, there's enough ambient light that you can, you know, you can see, make out features. It's almost like floating in space on this expanse of salt. So I've really enjoyed myself camping out here. And as far as people, if you want to camp out, I hate doing these things in my podcast, but I'll do it. If you're interested in camping out here, if you're on the BLM thing, they don't tell you where to go to camp. It's just, you just pull over wherever you want to pull over. You can go 10 miles down or you can go real close to the road. It doesn't really matter. You have to bring all your ice and, you have to bring all the stuff you need to cook food because you can't have a fire because there's really no place to have a fire. And I can see where people have tried to, but this is not the kind of place you'll spoil the sand or the salt, whatever it is, if you have a fire. So you have to cook on a stove. But it's completely quiet. So you lay here at night and there's no birds. There's no critters. There are odd, weird grasshoppers to pour water out onto the salt. You'll have two or three grasshoppers. I don't know where they come from. In a very short period of time to get to that water. There's no flies. There are these weird moth-like creatures that are fly size, but there's not that many of them. So it's a rather pristine environment. And I think that's probably one of the great things I like about it, that I feel. But the thing that's interesting is when you consider what attracted me to the Bonneville Salt Flats. You know, if you're of a certain age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This was on Wide World of Sports once a month. This was there was a Life magazine story on the guy that set the world land speed record, I think, in 1967 with the jet car. There was another jet car out here that actually went faster than the speed of sound. And over the years, all sorts of tire trials and things going on out here at the Bonneville Salt Flats, it figured prominently in the sportsman's world of automotive stuff. I don't know that there has ever been any really significant car races here because it's not an asphalt track. It's a salt track, and that's a whole different thing. When you consider the history, it's just a weird place. It's really cool. It's a cool, weird place. Now, normally I wouldn't be able to do this or I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't stop. So I'm in Utah to get my truck worked on, and my appointment is until August 11th. It's roughly the end of July, early August. So I have a lot of time to kill. And I wanted to come out, and I decided, you know, I've been camping in the mountains in Utah, and I thought, I'm going out to the Salt Flats because I want to see what that's all about. And I'm really glad I did. And now I have another, 10 days to kill here in Utah. And I'm on that sort of longitude straight out from Salt Lake City. And I really don't want to go too far north, and I really don't want to go too far south because I don't want to have a long drive coming back. I'm trying to conserve fuel. So it's kind of a tough row to hoe to kind of figure out where I want to go next and what I want to see next and where I'm going to camp. Because there's not as many campgrounds this is the desert, so there's not that many places to quote-unquote camp out here. Now, I know that there's BLM land all over the place, But sometimes, you know, I look for the signs. I don't just pull off the road, because you never know whether you're pulling off into some rancher's land or something to that effect. So I look for the BLM signs, or I at least look for the BLM campground, you know, thing that kind of is standing on two posts that has all the notices on it, so I know that I'm in a BLM facility. And just every day, continuing to recover from whatever my illness was that I had, that I'll probably talk about it in another podcast. I don't feel like doing a whole big thing about that, but so I guess I'm taking off. I'm going to go visit the Donner Reed Museum and find out what they've got to show. So I'll be heading that direction. And greetings from the Bonneville Salt Flats. Got to say one more time, thanks again to all the sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, including a longtime sponsor, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, in business on University Avenue in St. Paul for over 70 years. There's little that they have not seen in your house, and they're really pushing efficiency. So the toilets and all the systems in a lot of houses, especially in St. Paul, are over 100 years old. They work, but they don't work efficiency, and water is becoming more and more expensive. So next time you talk to Ryan, ask them about the efficiency systems that they can put in to replace the old systems for home or business when you want reliable service for plumbing or heating or air conditioning. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I'll just tell you, we'll skip the numbers for the time being. Remember, just go to ryanplumbing.com. It's got all the info right there on that fabulous website, ryanplumbing.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Once again, I think one of the big attractions of this place now is the utter quiet of just sitting out here and enjoying a little bit of wind, maybe the sound of a car coming every now and then, and the white that makes you feel like you're sitting on a frozen lake bed. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1064, the Bob Davis Podcast, live from the Bonneville Salt Flats. Bye-bye. Hey, what's up?
What up? Hey, what's the etiquette out here? I see the cones and shit. I've never been out here.
I think that's the BLM put those cones up. That's like the highway.
Okay.
And then there's another highway there. Oh. And other than that, I don't, you know how it is with most BLM facilities. Anything pretty much goes.
Yeah, I just don't want to get in the path of someone going 100 plus or something. I don't know if anyone's out here doing that, but...
your back, I can see you had your fun, but